Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do, let's clarify for new listeners what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as things like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, radiculopathies, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, climate change, carpal tunnel syndrome, etc., by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click the individual show by topic. Thanks to the technical wizardry of on-demand web radio. We love that. So today, what are we going to talk about, Tripp? We're going to talk about scoliosis. Scoliosis is a diagnosis given to a wide-ranging set of conditions that result in an abnormal lateral or sideways curvature of the spine. The medical term scoliosis comes from the Greek root word scolios, meaning crooked or bent. Scoliosis is not necessarily a permanent condition, and it can change significantly for better or worse over time, depending on the cause and the degree of the scoliosis. The healthy human spine is never a rigidly straight line when viewed from any angle. There are normal curves in the spine that are essential for shock absorption and back health. If we look at the spine from the side, the neck portion looks like a normal letter C viewed from the side, that is, convex forward, curving out slightly toward the front of the body. The upper and mid back look like a backwards facing letter C viewed from the side. That is convex backward, curving out slightly toward the back of the body. And the lower back, again, looks like a normal letter C viewed from the side. That is convex forward, curving out slightly toward the front of the body. Again, all with slightly less degrees of curvature forward and back than an actual letter C. The normal back-to-front spinal curve of the neck and low back is called cervical in the neck or lumbar in the back, lordosis. The normal front-to-back spinal curve of the upper and mid-back is called thoracic kyphosis. On the other hand, if we look at the healthy spine from the back, it looks essentially straight throughout from top to bottom in the neck, upper and mid-back, and lower back portions. But there may be slight variations in the line of the spine within the realm of a normal healthy spine. However, when viewed from the back, the spine should not deviate laterally or sideways to any significant degree. If it does, this sideways bending phenomenon is called scoliosis. If the scoliosis curve viewed from the back looks like the letter C with the spine bowed outward to the left, in other words, convex left, then it is called a levoscoliosis. Levo means leftward. If the scoliosis curve viewed from the back looks like a backward letter C with the spine bowed outward toward the right, in other words, convex right, then it is called a dextroscoliosis, dextro meaning rightward. Whereas cervical and lumbar lordosis and thoracic kyphosis are all normal and necessary, neither levoscoliosis nor dextroscoliosis are normal or desirable. There may even be more than one scoliotic curve in a given back with, for example, a levoscoliosis in the thoracic spine and a dextroscoliosis in the lumbar spine, making the spine look like an S curve from the back. None of that is normal or desirable. Let's take a closer look at the normal anatomy of the spine to get a better understanding of how the scoliosis might occur and how it might be resolved. The human spine is made up of a total of 33 vertebrae, your 33 backbones. 24 of these articulate with each other in the neck and back. The other 9 become fused together to varying degrees at the bottom of your back. 5 in the sacrum, that is, that upside-down triangle suspended between the 2 large pelvic bones, and 4 in the coccyx, your tailbone. There are 7 cervical vertebrae in the neck, 12 thoracic vertebrae in the upper and mid-back, where your ribs attach, and 5 lumbar vertebrae in the low back. The number of vertebrae in a given region can actually vary slightly, but overall, the number of vertebrae in the spine total remains the same. And it is very rare for there to be anything other than 7 cervical vertebrae in the neck. All the articulating vertebrae move like a big flexible rod. Each vertebra has a normal range of motion that includes a certain amount of normal motion forwards into flexion, backwards into extension, or side bending to the left, or side bending to the right, and a bit of partial rotation in either direction like a horizontal wheel. The articulating vertebrae are separated by discs between the bodies of the backbones. These are the discs that can herniate. The articulating vertebrae are connected to each other by a complex layered weave of ligaments, muscle tendons, and the fascia that surrounds all tissues. Additionally, there are many layers of muscles from the tiny, deep rotatores muscles that connect 1 or 2 vertebrae to each other, to the large erector spinae muscles that run between and along the vertebrae for the length of the spine, and in some cases attach directly to the vertebrae, like the great psoas muscle that bends our trunks forwards and flexes our hips. Normally, all these muscles work in concert and in relative balance side to side, unless we are intentionally bending forwards, backwards, or from one side to the other. These muscles, however, can become unbalanced in how they contract, so that one side pulls more than the other. Or they can be injured and go into spasm on one side, creating a functional mild scoliosis because the muscles have pulled the spine more tightly on one side and have drawn the spine into a slight lateral curve. So how do I know if I have scoliosis? Scoliosis can be so mild that it is not detectable until a person bends forward, and then it can be seen to the trained eye as an asymmetry in how the ribs rise during the bending forward. Scoliosis can also be so extremely severe that it interferes with respiratory, cardiac, and/or gastrointestinal function and can lead to premature death because it interferes with heart and lung function. And of course, there can be every degree of scoliosis in between these two extremes. A pediatrician will regularly evaluate all children and adolescents for scoliosis, including as part of an annual school physical. In adults, a physician may examine your back during a routine physical, particularly if you have any related complaints or questionable posture. And you can always request that your back be evaluated for scoliosis by your physician if you have any concerns about it. Scoliosis can be classified as idiopathic scoliosis, meaning we don't know exactly what caused it, congenital scoliosis, which is present in infants, neuromuscular scoliosis, which is the result of neuromuscular conditions and diseases, or degenerative scoliosis, which generally occurs late in life. Traumatic scoliosis is another possibility and is frequently not mentioned in allopathic literature. This scoliosis can be caused by acute trauma, or can be the result of repetitive injury or repetitive motions and habitual posture. For example, some musicians who play an instrument which is asymmetrically played can develop habitual spinal curves. In other examples, some artists, craftsmen and craftswomen, construction workers, athletes, professional drivers, and others who habitually carry heavy weights on one side of their bodies or habitually sit, stand, or perform certain activities turned in one direction may develop chronic one-sided curves in their spines. These traumatic scolioses are often misdiagnosed as idiopathic, even though there is a clear musculoskeletal etiology to the problem for the trained eye to see. Scoliosis is most accurately characterized by something called the degrees of Cobb angle, which was developed by Dr. John Cobb, logically enough, in the 1940s. The Cobb angle is a measure of the severity of the curve of the spine away from the normal linear spine, such that the greater the angle, or the higher the degrees of Cobb angle, the greater the severity of the scoliosis. So for example, 10 degrees of Cobb angle is a very mild scoliosis and generally considered to be the minimum Cobb angle used to determine the presence of scoliosis. Between 20 to 40 degrees of Cobb angle is considered moderate, but may require a back brace. And any degrees of Cobb angle greater than 40 are considered a severe scoliosis, and they may require surgical correction. However, mild idiopathic scoliosis is by far the most common form seen. It's generally found in children and adolescents during a growth spurt. There's an old osteopathic saying, "As the twig is bent, so grows the tree." It is generally painless and self-correcting as the child grows. However, it does not always resolve with growth, and the opposite can occur, and the scoliosis can worsen with growth. So any scoliosis always requires a thorough initial assessment and regular evaluation until it's resolved. Mild idiopathic scoliosis is also commonly seen in people of all ages who have a chronic or acute tightness in some of the large muscles along the spine on one side of the back or neck, possibly due to injury, habitually one-sided position or posture, leg length discrepancy, especially after joint replacement surgery, or chronic pain. The other types of scoliosis are far less common, are more complex, and often are associated with pain and systemic dysfunction. These other types are congenital scoliosis, which develops in utero and is present in infancy. This is a rare condition affecting approximately 1 in 10,000. There's no known specific cause, but in most cases, the spinal curve must be corrected surgically. Neuromuscular scoliosis, which sometimes develops in individuals due to a neuromuscular condition, such as muscular dystrophy or cerebral palsy. And degenerative scoliosis, sometimes called adult scoliosis, which is a condition that occurs late in life as the joints in the spine degenerate. Degenerative scoliosis is caused by a gradual deterioration of the facet joints between the individual vertebrae or backbones of the spine. This is similar to the process that causes osteoarthritis. However, in degenerative scoliosis, the pressure of these deteriorating facet joints causes the spine, as viewed from the back, to begin to shift so that the spine curves to one side. What do I do if I have scoliosis? Firstly, if you have any suspicion that you have scoliosis, you need a full evaluation by a physician. If it is severe, you may need a brace or corrective surgery. If it's mild to moderate, an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for resolving mild to moderate scoliosis and caring for scoliosis to any degree. Osteopathic treatment is an excellent, sustainable approach to help with scoliosis, to work with your body to help reposition the back and neck into a more normal range of motion, relieve muscle strain, spasm, or tension in the neck and back that may be creating scoliotic pull on the spine, restore full range of motion of the back and neck, and help prevent strain and other associated issues. Osteopathic manual medicine can help prevent a recurrence of a functional muscular scoliosis because, in addition to resolving the current problem, traditional osteopathy addresses the root structural and anatomical causes that led to the development of the problem in the first place. In addition to regular osteopathic treatment for your neck and back, here are some important tips for maintaining good spine health. Keep your neck and back fit and flexible with regular exercise and stretching programs, but make sure not to strain your back and neck in the process of the workouts. Avoid sitting or standing in a twisted position for extended periods of time. Make sure to have your back evaluated for scoliosis periodically, and especially after any injuries or surgeries. Make sure children and adolescents get annual scoliosis evaluations and follow-up as needed. Avoid carrying heavy backpacks for prolonged periods and for daily use. This is especially true for children and adolescents. Make sure all backpacks are adjusted to fit properly and do not hang too low on the back. So to review, scoliosis can come on at any time of life. Scoliosis is not necessarily a permanent diagnosis and does not necessarily require a brace or surgery to resolve, although it may need these in some cases. Most scoliosis cases are mild and resolve with time and appropriate musculoskeletal care. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can improve the scoliosis and make a real difference in helping optimize structure and function in the head, neck, shoulders, and back, and therefore in resolving and preventing scoliosis and related problems with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours on Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.